Sample got a birthday. So take yourself back to those days at school. You were thinner then, maybe even cool. It's a milestone for pop and rap. A crossover song busts the gap. Busta Move got a birthday today. I'm serious. It's Young MC with Farai Today. It's a takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Thursday, May 28th. I'm John Hockenberry. Warning, dance party, along with you-know-who.
Farai MC.
Good morning, Farai.
It's the CJ on the mic, along with the Hocksta. We are putting on a show this hour. We're going to tell you what you need to know about the rocky week ahead for GM and Chrysler. Plus, we're going to look for winds of change in Iran. We'll go to Tehran, where our partner at the BBC will take us inside the election heating up the country. All that and more ahead, but first, these headlines.
And in the headlines today, President Obama hosts Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. This is the latest in a series of White House meetings on the Israeli-Palestinian problem. Last week, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu came to visit. Tensions are rising between the U.S. and North Korea. The American and South Korean troops along the border are boosting their alert level. This comes after a new threat of military moves by North Korea yesterday. Today, North Korean state media are stirring up fears of an American-led attack. The U.S. military says it has no such plan. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says Pyongyang's behavior is disturbing.
It continues to act in a provocative and belligerent manner toward its neighbors. There are consequences to such actions.
A reminder, right now there are nearly 30,000 American troops in the DMZ in Korea, right?
The Taliban now says it's launched an attack on Pakistan's intelligence agency. Wednesday's suicide strike killed dozens and wounded more than 300. The Taliban says it's a response to Pakistan's stepped-up military action against the Taliban in the country's volatile northwest. If you like economic data, today's a big day for you. And if you don't, you should still pay attention. The reports coming out can move markets and affect your world. Later this morning, we're going to get the latest data on jobs, new home sales, factory orders. We're watching those. We'll bring you live numbers once they're out.
Honduras on standby for aftershocks and big waves after a powerful quake hit just off the coast. The magnitude 7.1 quake shook the ground as far as Guatemala. A tsunami watch is in effect.
In sports, the L.A. Lakers are on the verge of the NBA Finals. They took a 3-2 series lead over the Denver Nuggets last night. That's Western Conference. In the East, Orlando leads Cleveland 3-1. The Magic play the Cavs tonight.
With all the bankruptcy talk in Detroit, they're happy to be thinking about the Red Wings taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup Championship. The S&P and Dow lost 2% yesterday. The S&P starts trading at 893, slipping below 900. It's a dance party this morning on The Takeaway.
So don't you stand there, Busta Move.
Busta Move is turning 20. That was the big dance song in 1989. We want to know, what was the big dance song when you first started going out dancing? Did you get jiggy with it? 8778-MY-TAKE, in honor of Young MC, who talks to Farai today on this program later on this hour. 8778-MY-TAKE.
Oh, yeah.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here, back in New York after a successful trip to Boston. Now, we begin with some U.S. economic history today, the anticipated and imminent bankruptcy of Chrysler Corporation and General Motors. Also will make American legal and financial history, because the scale of these bankruptcies, if they actually proceed, will be nothing like we've seen really in a generation. And the question of what the details of these bankruptcies and restructurings are going to actually look like are starting to emerge. Joining us now to talk about this is Micheline Maynard, senior business correspondent at the New York Times. John Pato, law professor at the University of Michigan. Both join us from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Micheline, good morning.
Good morning, John.
You know, I wish we were just talking about the Red Wings in the Stanley Cup, but no.
Well, at least the Red Wings lined it up last night in time for me to get a little sleep before this morning.
Exactly. Well, I know all of our fans at WDET in Detroit wish we were talking about the Red Wings. Let's talk, first of all, about how people can really understand what's going on here. It seems to me the most important thing to understand, Mickey, is that the complexity of these bankruptcies relates to the fact that both Chrysler and GM got way into debt before getting to this point. So there are a lot of debtors here that have to be dealt with and a lot for judges to do. Mickey?
There's a combination of things first. These companies were laden with cost. Debt is part of it. Operating cost is another. And when, on top of all of that, the car market just collapsed on them. I'm not sure if they'd be in great shape if we weren't in this recession, but this recession really was the final blow to them operating as independent companies.
John Pato, a law professor at the University of Michigan, remind us what the complexity is here with all of these creditors standing in line, crowding into court. I don't know what it actually looks like, but the scale of both of these bankruptcies, should they proceed, and again, it's not official, are going to be like nothing we've seen.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the biggest, I don't know if it's going to be the biggest in actual dollar amounts, but certainly the biggest in economic significance bankruptcy we've seen, I can think, ever maybe. You'd have to have a pretty big courtroom to get every single one of the creditors of General Motors in, including you and me as taxpayers, by the way. But what will happen is there'll be secured creditors, that's to say lenders and banks who have got collateral for their loans, you know, where GM's pledged assets, and they'll get paid. And then there'll be priority creditors who are certain creditors like employees or taxing authorities that the bankruptcy code says deserve to be paid ahead of other creditors, and they'll be filing claims. Then there'll be general unsecured creditors like bondholders, people who have invested. They come in there, and then you've got good old stockholders and preferred stockholders who are technically filing claims, but will be wiped out and their claims will be worthless.
You know, the irony here, John, is that while the bondholders appear by your reckoning to be at the bottom end of the sort of creditor list, they also have the power to actually trigger this bankruptcy by basically saying, hey, we're not taking any sort of deal. You pay us now or go into bankruptcy. They have power and then none.
That's right, and I think what they're doing is they're negotiating right now, and these eve of bankruptcy back and forths are sort of like a big game of chicken. The company says, you know, here's our recent proposal, and it was to swap the bond debt for equity in new GM. And they said, listen, if you guys don't take this, bondholders, we're going to have to end up filing for bankruptcy. And the bondholders, at least I saw the vote was like 90% of them said, no, we don't think that's good enough. We'll take our chances in bankruptcy. But it's a pretty risky strategy because the valuation I saw most recently pegs these bondholders at getting between 0 and 10 cents on the dollar at most.
Wow. Great investment.
And, you know, left holding the bag or getting a sweetheart deal, depending on what what your point of view is, of course, the U.S. government. And I just want to keep this really tight. How do you think it affects consumers, if at all,
Mickey?
That the government will hold so big of a stake in
right,
these?
The government has already said that people who purchase cars from Chrysler, which is in bankruptcy already, and from General Motors, while it's in bankruptcy, their warranties will be backed by the federal government. I don't know how that's going to actually work in reality. You know, if your car dies on a freeway, you know, do you call Tim Geithner or is there an 800 number?
But call your senator.
That's what they've said, and they wanted to clear up any question about buying vehicles from them because it's really the government putting them into bankruptcy, and, you know, the government has to kind of look out for you as well.
And, John, I know that you're looking at the legal structuring of this kind of a deal as opposed to the auto industry per se and its future, but do you have any thoughts on whether or not a government, you know, owned, largely owned company will be different in terms of, for example, Hummers were incredibly popular due to market forces, but the government has a lot of interest that would go against building a vehicle like that. Now they're no longer popular even on the agenda of production. But if you had a sudden consumer demand for a gas guzzler, would the government just shoot it down?
Yeah, that's the $64 question, which is, will the government now, which they could be owning up to 70% of the equity of GM. They only, and I'm now making on radio the air quotes, they only own about 10% of Chrysler, but they could be owning up to 70% of GM. And so the question is, are they going to be like any other investor and say, let's make this company as profitable as possible? Or are they going to be, and you know, we're taxpayers, are they going to be like the government? Are they going to try to effectuate government policy through leveraging their control of GM? So they're going to say, listen, we don't care how profitable they are. We want you to start making, you know, green cars because that's what our carbon emission goals are by the government.
John, have you ever ridden Amtrak, buddy?
I have. It wasn't on time when I wrote it.
Right. I don't think you necessarily... I think you may have your answer there. In the few minutes before we go, though, Mickey, let's take a look at one incident that John was talking about there. Chrysler spent 9 hours in bankruptcy court dealing with some secured debt holders, all right, who hold about 1% of Chrysler's secured debt. And they're a member of, like, Indiana state pension funds and construction funds. And that was, like, the crucial to the entire Chrysler deal. Can you explain any of this?
Well, what they were arguing was that, first of all, the case shouldn't be heard in New York, which would sort of throw a big ball of wax into the whole thing. And they were also arguing, they came up with a lot of really great stuff as far as those were listening. Apparently, there are a bunch of emails that were indicating that even the lawyers were thinking that the case was moving too quickly and that there were some very angry exchanges between attorneys for the debt holders at Chrysler and the government. And it was apparently quite a vivid situation in the courtroom yesterday. But the point was that they argued that this should not be in bankruptcy court. This was another matter. And the judge basically said, you know, I'm not moving the case. So the drama will continue today.
Right. And of course, the question really is, can Chrysler get out from under enough of this stuff for it to still be attractive to Fiat? What do you think, Mickey?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think Fiat will go through with this. In fact, there were people expecting sale to go through yesterday, but it won't go through until some more of these objections have been heard.
Well, John Pato, let's go back then to the general point. I think, you know, Farai raised it with the issue of what's the point of the government owning 75% of something that appears worthless. Stepping back, and again, you're a law professor, is there a business here when judges look at what's left of General Motors? Is there a business?
I think there is. I think the good news, so putting on my optimistic hat of having the government involved, is that they do have a business plan. They are shut. They're massively slashing their bloated dealer network. They are rationalizing, downsizing their number of brands, and they have a plan. The problem is when you're as big as General Motors, you're a financial behemoth that it's hard to get financing for. So the U.S. government's ponying up and said, listen, we'll provide financing so you can survive a reorganization, but we can't just write you a blank check. We have to take something. So we are going to take this giant equity stake. It's not like we're looking to buy investments in the car industry. We're just doing this because we can't tell the taxpayers we're giving you free money. So I take them, you know, maybe I'm naive, but I'm taking them at face value when they say we are becoming reluctant shareholders of General Motors. Well, so it could very well work out. They have a smaller, more profitable business going forward in a couple of years, and then the government owns up to, you know, some huge equity stake in it. The one group I don't want to forget about is when we talk about these unsecured creditors and the bondholders, the biggest unsecured creditor is the UAW.
Right.
GM's made all these promises about health care, pensions, and stuff.
And they've put a small amount of money up. They'll have a certain equity stake. Before we go, what is the chance that the U.S. government may actually end up taking those pension liabilities and health care liabilities and just folding them into the federal government, that would be the end game here?
Well, they sort of can do that already with something called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is when companies get really screwed up in their pensions, they basically just give up and say, we can't fund our pensions anymore, and they turn it over to the government. We already have a government entity that does that.
So a possible positive thing for workers who are listening this morning. Mickey, you want to call the Red Wings?
Oh, my gosh. Of course it's going to be a repeat.
All right. Well,
are you kidding? I have a bet with Jack Spear over this.
You know,
Jack Spear of
NPR. And I'll give you academic support for that, too.
All right, great. To all your Stanley Cup and Detroit bankruptcy news here on The Takeaway, Mickey Maynard, senior business correspondent at The New York Times, and John Pato, law professor at the University of Michigan, both in Ann Arbor. Thanks, guys.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.